Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome in to Outkick the Show. I'm your fearless leader, Clay Travis. I hope all of you are having fantastic Wednesdays. I have got a Prize Picks pick for you for Thursday. I'm going to give it to you right now. Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, over 3 million members. You can play it in Texas. You can play it in Georgia. You can play it in California, over 30 states. I've got a 10-1 payout. This is Thursday's games. Tomorrow, I'm going to give you Friday's games, and maybe I will echo the Thursday picks again. These are all games being played in the Sweet 16. I'm going to be doing, right after this show, a show with Kelly Stewart, The Fade, on breaking down gambling for the Sweet 16s. In the meantime, Chase Hunter, more than 14.5 points. Caleb Love, more than 18.5 points. Mark Sears, more than 31 points, rebounds, and assists. And Armando Bacot, more than 16.5 points. That is Sweet 16 plays for you from me. That is individual players on four different teams. We've got Clemson, we've got Arizona, we've got Alabama, and we've got UNC, all covered. Four different players on four different teams. 10-1 is the payout. Now, you can still win. I think it's 2.5-1 if you hit 3 out of 4, but you get a 10-1 payout if you hit on those numbers. Boom. There you have it. Thursday picks. I'm going to give these out on Clay and Buck tomorrow. Go sign up for Prize Picks right now. Go to prizepicks.com. Use my name, Clay. Use Outkick. Get the code in. They will double the money that you deposit up to $100. So it's very rare. You get $100. PrizePicks.com/Clay. PrizePicks.com. Outkick. Get hooked up today with Prize Picks. You'll be glad that you did. Must be present in certain states and Canadian provinces. Void where prohibited. Visit PrizePicks.com for restrictions and details. All right, we got a lot to dive into here. I want to start with something that I told you was going to be the case. And the Wall Street Journal, ESPN, New York Times, all of them tried to argue that this was not true. Men's college basketball, the NCAA tournament, set an all-time viewership high for rounds 1 and round 2. That is, no one has ever watched the NCAA tournament more than watched the men's NCAA tournament this year. That's pretty extraordinary. And when you came into the NCAA tournament, you actually had everybody saying, oh, the men's basketball tournament is weak. Way more people are going to watch the women's basketball tournament. They have better known players. They have better rivalries. And I told you that was crazy. It's one thing to have an opinion. Like, I could say, hey, which I'm going to talk about later, I think that society was happier and better off in 1999 when the original Matrix movie came out than it is 25 years later. And some of you might agree, some of you might disagree. That's a clear opinion. But if I said to you, hey, American overall stock market valuations were higher in 1999 than they were in 2024, you would look at it and you would say, yeah, that's not true. So there's a difference between a fact, which is either true or not, and an opinion. And a lot of people can't distinguish between the two. For instance, it is my opinion that Chase Hunter, Caleb Love, Mark Sears, and Armando Bacot are going to hit on the Prize Picks four-way. That's an opinion. I could be wrong. If it doesn't hit, and I come back tomorrow on Friday, and I tell you that it hit and it didn't, that's an opinion, and it's by fact, wrong, right? It's an incorrect fact. If I suddenly came on and said, hey, guess what? I got a crazy idea. I think water actually freezes at 35 degrees. I think everybody had it wrong when they said it froze at 32 degrees. That's my opinion, but it can be proven to be factually wrong. So I don't have a problem with opinions. I'm wrong on my opinions. End up being wrong on gambling picks all the time. My facts are always right. And if I get a fact wrong, I'll come back and I'll correct it. When you get an opinion that is so clearly not based in reality, and I know it's not based in reality, I call it out. So in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, and ESPN were all saying the women's college basketball tournament has better players in terms of recognition, better rivalries, better coaches. It's going to do better than the men's NCAA tournament this year. That's going to be false. I told you it was going to be false. And it wasn't even just false. The men's first two rounds outrated the women's first two rounds by a 10-1 margin. Think about that for a minute. 10 times as many people watched the average men's NCAA tournament game as watched the average women's NCAA tournament game. And a lot of people run around saying, I think the number was 4.9 million people watched Iowa play against West Virginia. It's unbelievable. Well, that's fine. Except I believe the number was 9 different men's NCAA tournament games outrated the biggest and best women's NCAA tournament game in the first and second round. So this idea that Caitlin Clark was going to be way more popular and nobody was ever going to be able, UNC Michigan State more than doubled the viewership did what watched for the watch viewership for Caitlin Clark. And I have this saved right here, and I flagged it because I think this is important. Just listen. Men's NCAA tournament viewers. I just want to list all of these. Over 10 million people watched Michigan State UNC. 8.3 million, 8.279 million, I'm going to round up for ease, watched Gonzaga, Kansas. 8.1 million people watched Utah State versus Purdue. Does that sound like a super sexy matchup to you? If I were like just tossing a game out in the NCAA tournament, Utah State, Purdue, does that sound like I can't miss the Utah State Purdue game? 8.1 million. James Madison versus Duke, 7.8 million. Texas versus Tennessee, 6.7 million people. Oakland versus Kentucky, that was a first round game, 6.2 million people. Dayton versus Arizona, 6.1 million. Colorado versus Marquette. How many of you out there were like, Colorado Marquette, I can't miss this game. 5.6 million people. James Madison against Wisconsin, 5.2 million. NC State versus Texas Tech, 4.6 million. It takes all the way to there for me to find a women's basketball game with more viewership than the men's game. So all of those other games, and by the way, that's just the Caitlin Clark game. Caitlin Clark's games do well. People care about Iowa women's basketball. By and large, they don't care about any other NCAA tournament games. And the reason why I flagged this is because you were all sold a bill of goods, wish casting. There were a lot of people out there that wanted to believe that women's college basketball was going to outrate men's college basketball. And by the way, here's a couple of viewerships for women's college basketball games. Drexel, Texas, 36,000 viewers. Vanderbilt, Baylor, 53,000 viewers. Eastern Washington, Oregon State, 63,000 viewers. Okay, I'm not trying to claim that every women's basketball game was low viewership. But the fact that all of the men's games absolutely trounced on True TV, South Dakota State versus Iowa State had 874,000 100,000 viewers. Akron versus Creighton on TNT had 794,000 viewers. Long Beach State versus Arizona had 766,000 viewers. South Carolina on ESPN, supposedly this incredible draw, 500,000 viewers. The games that people cared about the least in the men's tournament outrated the games that people claim to care about the most in the women's tournament, even when they were airing on True TV compared to ESPN. Why do I make this story? By the way, I'm not trying to downgrade women's basketball. I watch the UT women's under Pat Summitt basketball team all the time. The rivalry with UConn that Pat Summitt and Gino Auriemma had as Tennessee women's basketball against UConn women's basketball was a phenomenal, phenomenal battleground back in the day, okay? It was outstanding. The reality is women's college basketball is a pinprick as big as men's college basketball. The fact that anyone tried to argue on the contrary is a sign that they care about identity politics more than they care about objective reality and the truth. And what I would submit to you is, if you really want to do a story about ratings, Michael Mulvihill at Fox, buddy of mine, who is a ratings guru, awesome dude, he dove in and looked at the numbers, and I want to share this with all of you. Men's and women's ratings are skyrocketing. And I thought this was super interesting. Mike Mulvihill tweeted, based on total time spent viewing, this year has produced the number one college football season ever, the number one NFL playoffs ever, the number one Super Bowl ever, the number one college basketball regular season, men and women combined ever, and the number one March Madness NCAA tournament first weekend men and women combined ever. If you really want to do a rating story, this is my gift to all of you in sports media, or just people out there who want to be in sports media one day. You want to write an article. Why is men's and women's college basketball setting all-time ratings record highs, that is, never have more people watched, while simultaneously the NBA is setting all-time record lows? It's the same sport, basketball. Why? Played by many of the same players. A lot of these men's players will go right into the NBA. It's not that people don't like them. Why is college basketball setting all-time record highs and the NBA is setting all-time record lows? This is data. You can come up with a variety of opinions, hypotheses to explain it. Mine is that the NBA destroyed its brand by going woke, by writing Black Lives Matter on the court, by replacing player names with political slogans, by denigrating all of America in 2020 and in years before, following the lead of LeBron James, Adam Silver, Greg Popovich, and Steve Kerr, and going full-on political when they were alienating a huge percentage of their audience. And those people have chosen not to consume the NBA. What other theory is there? I don't think there is one. It's not like people stopped liking basketball. It's not like they stopped liking football. Those leagues far less woke. I don't know that college football has ever done anything political. College basketball certainly hasn't. You've got the benefit of gambling, which I think is raising ratings in general, because more people are betting on games. That gives them more reason to keep watching games, much like fantasy football back in the day. I just think it's really fascinating. Why will nobody write that story? Tons of people wanted to write, even though it wasn't true, women's college basketball is now a better sport than men's college basketball, and there are way more fans. And then I just shared all the data. Actually, men's college basketball has never been more popular. You can make an argument, I think it's probably somewhat valid, that the rising tide of men's college basketball and women's college basketball is connected, because if you like the men's NCAA tournament, maybe you'll also sample the women's NCAA tournament. I think that's probably true. There are lots of fans that like both. That you're willing to watch whatever the men's tournament is and also check out Caitlin Clark. Why won't anybody write about the NBA collapse? Why will the story that I just shared about men's and women's ratings, nobody else that I've, probably nobody else going to write it, nobody else going to say it. Why is that? If you were in the business of sports media, of objective reality, looking at the data and writing based on the data, not based on what you wanted the truth to be, but based on what the truth actually is, would be really substantial. We've built a huge brand at OutKick just by looking at the data and letting people have more of what they want. Why wouldn't someone else even talk about that? I think it's intriguing. All right, I got a bunch of stories that I need to hit as we are rolling through. This is a really good one. I'm going to try to synthesize this quickly. The Matrix came out 25 years ago. It's set in 1999. In the movie, they say that the year is actually 2199. In other words, it's been like 200 years since 1999. The reason why they set the movie in 1999, they said, because that's when human civilization peaked. And it got me thinking when I was reading that. I love the movie The Matrix. I remember watching it when I was in college. Adam is standing over here. He's an OutKick employee now. He was born in 2000, so he was born after The Matrix came out, which still kind of blows my mind that we got people working at OutKick who weren't born in the 20th century. Didn't even live in the 1900s. But what's better today than 1999? I think society was better in the late 90s, early 2000s than it is today. I think people were happier. We had almost everything the same, right? You could get on an airplane. You could drive a car anywhere you wanted to go on the interstates. People, it seems to me, got along better. What is better in 2024? I put up that tweet. I think this could spiral so many different discussions. And there were some interesting responses. And to me, the only two things that I thought of that were better were Uber is better than taxi cabs. Any of you out there, if you don't live in like New York City or you don't live in a major East Coast city, so I went to college in D.C., it's easy to get a cab. Where I live in Nashville, it was almost impossible to get a cab to come to my house and take me anywhere. If I were going to go out and have a couple of drinks, I would have to call ahead. The cab might or might not show up. It was expensive. They needed cash. They didn't take credit cards. Uber is 1,000,000,000% better than the average taxi cab. That is something that, to me, beyond a shadow of a doubt, is far better. I also think that FaceTime's pretty cool. If you got kids or you got grandkids, for instance, I travel a lot. When my kids were young, if I wanted to talk to them at bedtime, it's way better to be able to see them. If they're somewhere else and they want to call me, I think FaceTime is pretty cool. I would imagine if you're a single guy or girl and you're in a remote relationship, FaceTime is pretty badass for that. Mike Mulvihill, double shout-outs today, said television, both for television shows, but also HD is better. I would acknowledge that to a certain extent. I think I got my first HD television in like 2004 or 5. I would submit that television went up and might have peaked around 2012 or 13, and now it's gone backwards because streaming is not as good. I don't think the shows are as good as they were in the golden age of television. Somebody else said no smoking, in any public place or indoors. Yes, I agree with that. Cameron Hicks suggested that. I thought that was a really good one because back in the day, if you went to a bar, for those of you who are young, like Adam here in 2000, you go into a bar, there was smoke everywhere. You could barely breathe. You would leave and your clothes would reek of smoke. I actually prefer bar restaurants not allowing smoking. They had the smoking section, which if you're in a restaurant was always stupid. Like, oh, you can't smoke in this part of the indoor building, so the smoke would end up everywhere. I don't think there are very many things that are better. Those are three. People are way happier. And I think people are way happier because you got a cell phone now, right? Everybody's walking around with a cell phone. Everything that a cell phone has existed in 1999. Maps, photos, the internet. You just didn't have it in your pocket. And I was thinking about this. So you make your arguments. Tag me. What is better in 2024 than in 1999? I was thinking about it in the context of that Matrix argument. And overall, is society better? Music was better. Comedy was certainly better. Just think about it. And I was thinking about it when I saw, did you see the pictures of Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift on vacation in the Bahamas? Everybody is ripping Travis Kelce because they say he's got a dad bod. And I saw these pictures. As soon as I saw it, I was like, Travis Kelce is going to get ripped to shreds. But I have a couple of things I want to say about this. One, we have to stop normalizing secret photos being taken of people out in a public venue. This is not normal behavior. This is weird. I'm not talking about if you walk up to somebody and say, hey, can I get a photo with you? That's fine. Snapping secret photos of people is weird. I think snapping secret photos of people on vacation at the beach or at a pool is weirder. I'll give you an example. I was recently, I took my kids to a water park in August. And in the Smoky Mountains, we're going around on all the slides. This may stun you. I'm not incredibly good looking in a bathing suit. I know a lot of you out there were like, man, I would have thought that Clay, you look amazing. You're ripped. You have like 4% body fat. No, I'm kind of a fat guy. I am a quintessential dad bod. My wife, by the way, looks incredible. But I was at the water park and I was like, there's probably a decent chance somebody's going to take, because a lot of people knew me there or they want to take photos with me. Again, I don't mind when people want to take a photo. If you walk up and you ask to take a picture, I'm fine with it. Typically, I try to be, I don't think I've ever turned down anybody who wants to get a photo with me. I'm typically okay with that all the time. Like, I don't mind it. Come up, say hi. Taking snapshots of me or anybody else when I'm not aware the photo gets taken, to me, is wrong. So I saw these photos, and I think about that now because I'm like a, I don't know, D-list celebrity or whatever classification of celebrity you want to put me in. Certainly nowhere near Taylor Swift and now Travis Kelce. And I saw the Travis Kelce criticism start. And one, I think taking a picture of somebody on vacation at their beach in their bathing suit without them knowing, I think is wrong. All right, so I am... If you wouldn't want somebody taking a secret photo of you with your significant other at the beach or at a vacation or with your family or whatever else, then frankly, I don't think you should do it, okay? General proposition, if you wouldn't want it done, I know it's crazy, the golden rule, if you wouldn't want it done to you on vacation, then I would suggest you not do it to somebody else, even if they're famous. Because then those photos go out, they go viral. And people are like, oh, Travis Kelce's got a dad bod. Travis Kelce's in better shape than 99.9% of men in America. There's just a totally broken idea of what someone in good shape looks like because so many of these dudes are roided up in superhero movies that we have created a fake idea of what a good athlete would look like with the shirt off. Same thing happened to Patrick Mahomes, but Travis Kelce in particular, 3-hour football game, he's dead sprinting and getting the crap knocked out of him for 3 hours. 0.1% of men could physically do what Travis Kelce does every single Sunday. 0.1%. And that's probably even high, right? The idea that he's not in great shape is crazy. This is, to me, just a function of not understanding what a normal person, even in great shape, would look like. And I even saw people ripping Taylor Swift because they were like, oh, she's not in that great of shape. Like, are you kidding me? I thought Taylor Swift looked phenomenal in a bikini. Look, Travis Kelce's 35 years old. Taylor Swift's around that same age. They're in like the 0.5% best looking people in bathing suits in America at their ages. And I just look at this, and I look at the criticism, I'm like, who are the people that are ripping them in a bathing suit? You know, if Gisele Bündchen wants to take a shot at Taylor Swift over what she looks like in a bikini, maybe I'm like, okay, like you, Gisele Bündchen, are better looking than if Sydney Sweeney wants to take a shot at what Taylor Swift looks like in a bikini. She wouldn't. But if she wanted to, I may be like, okay, you could do it. If Michael B. Jordan wants to rip Travis Kelce because he's not as ripped as Michael B. Jordan, all right, whatever, right? I said B. Jordan, not current Jordan. But this is kind of crazy that we're in this universe where there's such an artificial idea. But my big thing is, normalize your own behavior and apply it to everyone, whether they're famous or not. I don't, if Travis Kelce's at a resort and he wants to get his picture taken with you and you want to snap it, fine. The secret photos of people on vacation, I just am 100% opposed to. It's weird. You shouldn't do it. And the idea that we've normalized this in any way, I saw that they were staying at a super exclusive resort at the Bahamas. I actually think less of the resort, honestly, that they would allow guests to have photos taken secretly. I like that. I like the idea of high-end places now making people check their phones when they go to a restaurant or a club. I think that's actually cool. I would be more likely to enjoy going somewhere if there were less phones. And I'm a D or E list celebrity. I guarantee you, if that's why they went on vacation, they just want to chill. They have lots of public lives. You got me to manage to defend Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce here. Again, if they want to post photos of themselves in bikinis and looking amazing or whatever, I don't have any problem with it. That's their life. But you shouldn't be normalizing secret photos being taken of people living their normal lives. And I feel that way about like a grocery store trip or a beach trip. Let me just put it this way. What percentage of Americans do you think would be fine with a stranger taking a photo of them or their kids at a beach trip or a pool vacation? Less than 1%. So just think about that in terms of how you respond. Shohei Ohtani. I've talked a lot about this. Story to me is a big one. I'm pro sports gambling. I think it should be legal everywhere. I'm not going to be someone who grabs his pearls and faints. The story that Shohei Ohtani is putting out there does not make sense. Reports are that he has not reported a theft to any authorities yet. If it were true that Shohei Ohtani's translator stole $4.5 million from him, why hasn't he reported that as a theft? Yeah, I tell you this. If somebody stole $4.5 million from me, I would report them to authorities. This story doesn't add up. And I always just say, okay, where is that report? If somebody stole $4.5 million, that's a big crime. Somebody who stole $4.5 million should go to prison if they are convicted for years. That ain't walking into a convenience store and walking out with peanut M&Ms. $4.5 million. Why hasn't it been reported? I think it's a question worth asking. Sorry to Kelly Stewart, who I think is waiting. I still got a few more minutes here of stories that I want to do. I watched the announcement of the vice presidential pick by Nicole Shanahan, RFK Jr. of Nicole Shanahan. I think Aaron Rodgers would have been a better pick. Nicole Shanahan, 38 years old, married one of the Google founders. I don't think she's moving the needle at all for RFK Jr. I think he should have picked Aaron Rodgers. I think it would have gotten way more attention. I think that Aaron Rodgers crazily has had more publicly interesting opinions than Nicole Shanahan. I don't know if Aaron Rodgers would have taken it, but I watched the Nicole Shanahan speech. I watched the pick. I think it's a whiff by RFK Jr., and I think he could have done better on the selection. Couple of things, additional things. The NFL is taking over Christmas. I mentioned earlier that the NBA has tanked. Their one signature day that they got a lot of attention back in the day was they played games on Christmas. Nobody else did. Reports that the NFL is playing on Christmas this year. It's a Wednesday. Couple of games are going to be played on a Wednesday. If the NFL is playing on a Wednesday, that's the toughest day on the calendar to make work. It means the NFL on Christmas is now going to become a tradition, and the NBA is getting kicked to the curb even more so. Good move by the NFL. I will be watching. I imagine many of you will be watching as well. But this is just another sign of the overall decline of the NBA. Cowboys reportedly done with Dak Prescott based on the decision not to extend him. I say done. It might be a bit of an exaggeration. He's got 1 year left on his contract, and they're allowing the contract to expire before potentially they make a decision on whether he's the future. To me, if you let a guy get only 1 year left on his contract and you're letting him play a high-risk sport like football, you are basically saying, we're done with you. To me, the Cowboys allowing Dak Prescott to play out the final year of his contract is an acknowledgement that he's not the guy. Jerry Jones making the decision that they're moving on. Now, they give themselves a little bit of leeway. Maybe Dak Prescott comes out and is incredible in the first 8 or 9 games, and the Cowboys say, you know what, let's actually get Dak signed to a future deal. I don't think that's going to happen. They still have that flexibility. I think this is the Cowboys looking at the draft and saying, we'll go get somebody else next year, potentially in the first round, and the Dak Prescott era is over here. That's my takeaway. To me, if you allow a player to get to his end of his contract and be a free agent, then basically you're saying we're done with him. To me, the Cowboys are announcing that in many ways. I wanted to mention this. Jonathan Diller, New York Police Department, killed by a murdered, allegedly by a killer who'd been arrested 21 times prior. Diller had a young son. This is the kind of story that is happening far too often. Violent criminals have to be put behind bars, and they have to be kept there, period. Three strikes and you're out was a phenomenal decision. Came from, guess where, the 90s. Killer arrested 21 times. The average person who commits a murder in Washington, D.C. has been arrested 11 times. I have managed to, so far, never be arrested in my whole life. Chances are most of you watching or listening to this right now have also not been arrested, but I bet there isn't a single one of you listening who has been arrested 10 times. I don't know what the number is. Three strikes and you're out for felony seems very fair to me. If you get arrested multiple times for violent felonies, we've got to lock you up and convicted and throw away the key. I feel bad for Jonathan Diller and his family. His death is indefensible. His killer should have never been on the loose at all. Finally, and I'll talk more about this tomorrow, the Covenant School shooting 1 year anniversary is today. We still do not have the full manifesto of the trans shooter in that case. If you need to redact some parts of it, I understand. But it is important when these killers act to try and figure out why they acted and try to ensure that we do not allow it to occur again. I have been told that the killer cased multiple schools and chose to go to the Covenant School and wrote about this because the security was less significant there. I have said I want as much security as is feasible at my kid's school. All three of my kids went to public school until sixth grade in the Nashville, Tennessee area. I still have one who's in third grade. He will go public school until sixth grade. Full disclosure, I have two kids in private school. My plan is to put them in private school starting in seventh grade. I was a public school kid K through 12. I think every public and private school should have armed security. But if what I have been told is accurate, then this is a big part of the story that one reason this killer chose to target this school was the lack of security that she saw there. That matters. It also matters that this crazy person was trans. What medicine was this trans person on? Did any of that medicine make violent behavior more likely? This was a woman trying to transition to become a man. Did testosterone that she was taking in conjunction with her own biological reality make her more violent? These are real questions that I think deserve to be asked. We need all the information there in order to do so. And one more topic I'm going to talk about, Disney and DeSantis. But again, Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, over 3 million members. You are not competing against the House. You're competing, you're competing against the House, not against individuals, no sharks, competitive leagues. You can win up to 100 times your number. I gave you four picks, Chase Hunter, Caleb Love, Sears, and Armando Bacot. Those are NCAA tournament picks for Thursday. Major League Baseball starts tomorrow. We're coming down the stretch in the NFL and in the NBA. Whatever you want, Prize Picks has options for you. Lots of games going on all the time. Compete against the house. Make your own choices. Do it today. And when you do it, you get up to $100, no risk. All you have to do is go to prizepicks.com, code OutKicks. That's prizepicks.com, code OutKick. Pick more, pick less. Make your picks count and get hooked up right now with Prize Picks. Download the app. Use the code OutKick, first deposit match up to $100. Code OutKick, deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Must be present in certain states and Canadian provinces. Void where prohibited. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Finally, props to Ron DeSantis. Ron DeSantis has won again. I'm going to talk about this in more detail tomorrow. But Disney has basically acknowledged that they had the right to change the policies in place at the so-called Reedy Creek Development Zone where Disney World is in Florida. Disney has laid down the sword. They have given up the Mickey Mouse ears, and they have acknowledged that Ron DeSantis and the state of Florida did not behave inappropriately. I love Florida. I love Ron DeSantis. We've got property in Florida. I spend a lot of time down there. Maybe one day I'll even become a state resident of Florida. Until then, I am ecstatic that Ron DeSantis is the governor of Florida. I think he's the best governor in America. Congrats to him on the big win over Disney. And everybody else out there who said he was going to lose, you were wrong again. All right, The Fade with Kelly Stewart up next, coming up later today. I appreciate all of you. DBAP, unless you need to SBAP. I'm Clay Travis, and this has been OutKick, the show.